This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
All right. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Human-Animal Connection Show. I'm your host, Michael Overly, and we are with the amazing yet humble Jeannie Joseph. Jeannie, how are you?
I'm humble.
Well, I'm excited about today. This is so much fun.
Yeah, today we're diving into the spiritual dimension. We're on part three of the book, and this episode is all about the soul of an animal. Do animals have soul? What does it mean to say an animal has a soul? Do you believe your animal has a soul? It's okay if this is new to you, or maybe never considered that before. So we're going to just jump in and give you a little taste, and whatever you choose to believe is up to you.
And that's okay, right? Yeah, everybody's really in a different place. And what you
it really
believe,
is.
What you
I just, you know, like when I was writing this book, a lot of people, oh, don't go there. Don't include the spiritual stuff. You know, you're going to, you know, some people are going to not take you seriously if you start talking about the soul of an animal. And I, you know, I thought about that because I understood their opinion, but I really feel like I have a responsibility to speak about this. So I don't have a responsibility to convince anyone of anything, but I do have a responsibility to say, hey, consider this. This is something to think about. And if it's not true for you, it's not true for you. But just considering the possibility that animals have souls changes everything about how we engage with them. So that's why we're doing it.
It's a powerful message too, in multiple ways. Your willingness to speak up and say what is true for you and something that you know and realize is absolutely, it's powerful. Other people may be uncomfortable with the message, and that's okay. They're not in the same place. But being authentically you sends this powerful, powerful message, I believe.
And I thank you for saying that, because I've, you know, taken a lot of criticism on this one, and I do think it's important. And, you know, the truth is that I don't know for certain. Do you know what I mean? But I've had so many experiences that lead me to believe that this is true. And I'll tell some of those stories so that I am now on the more believing it side than the not believing it side. But I completely understand if this is too out there for some people, that's okay. And you know what? It's like, it might be out there for you today, but then you might have an animal pass and you want to talk to that animal, and you call an animal communicator and you get this message, you realize, oh my God, that's my dog, or that's my cat. Only my dog or my cat could have known that. So, you know, this is how it works, is that it's a process of coming to understand what's true for you. That's just, we're all in that together. So,
Love it. Thanks
for your encouragement about diving into this.
Oh, absolutely. And my thoughts on this have changed as well.
Yeah.
Not that many years ago, I would have said, you're nuts.
Yeah.
But the experiences I've had in the last, 6 years, be like, whoa.
Everybody's in a different place with this experience. And so just, if you're listening to this and you're not a believer, that's okay. We're just all in this together, and just consider this like a buffet. You can take what you want and leave the rest.
I'm starving now. Thanks. Oh.
Starving for truth. Yeah.
So when you say animals have a soul, like, what do you mean? How does that equate to humans having a soul? Let's get deep into this.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks. Yeah, well, I think it's the same thing. In the same way we could talk about a human having a soul, we can talk about an animal having a soul, because we're animals. And what that means is that consciousness, you know, the who you are-ness beyond your personality, beyond where you live, beyond what you do for a living, the essence of you, your Michael-ness beyond this lifetime even, is your soul. So to say that animals have a soul is saying that consciousness has continuity past death. In other words, the physical death is a transition, and there is something that remains, and what remains is consciousness. So it's beyond personality. It's beyond the details of a particular lifetime. It might even be beyond species. And we'll tell some stories about animals who've said that they've had experienced other lives as humans. And some traditions believe in reincarnation. Some don't. Some traditions believe that once you're a human, you never go back to being an animal. But other traditions say you can go up and down, back and forward, side and back, you know, that people can be people and then come back as an animal. Like a lot of people said, I wish I could come back as your dog. That's really what we're in a conversation about, and inviting people to just consider the possibility that maybe this is something that could be true, or just see what it feels like. See what it feels like. I mean, just when, Michael, when I say to you that animals have a soul, how does that feel to you?
It feels warm to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it feels comforting. Because,
yeah, it's comforting.
I feel very, very differently about animals than I did. So.
Right. You know, like if we just think of animals as these things that come and go, it's a little bit different. I mean, of course, we grieve either way, whether we feel they have a soul or not. But if we feel that they, or believe that they have a soul, then there is a comfort in that, you know, they may not be with us physically and in the body and the form that we know and love. That doesn't mean that they're not with us. I don't mean that they're hanging around all the time because they've got better things to do, but they can be connected. You know, you can connect in. And sometimes when you really need them, you can talk with them. Like J. Allen Boone did. He wrote a book was published in 1956 called Kinship with All Life. I couldn't remember for a second. Kinship with All Life. And he had a relationship with a German Shepherd dog named Strongheart. And Strongheart passed, and he continued to talk with him. I don't know if it was daily, but a lot. You know, he would write him letters, and he felt that Strongheart continued to teach him in his work with other animals. So that's pretty profound. I think that's pretty interesting. Of course, that's just one story among millions, though. I mean, there are a lot of stories like that.
Yeah. If this at all intrigues you folks, please read. It's a short book, but it's fantastic. And how their relationship came to be is
yes,
a story all on its own.
Yeah, it's just really, really powerful. Yeah. And there is some spiritual traditions that say that, like, that animals have a group soul, like the buffalo soul or the deer soul or whatever, which I think is true. But I think they also have an individual soul. So there's an individual deer soul, an individual rabbit soul. And I'm going to tell you a story about a rabbit that I think is very strong evidence for individual souls. And I think that in the wild, animals are very connected to their group souls. But when we domesticate animals, I think that it's just like as we become domesticated as humans, we're less in contact with our nature spirit, our nature protection, our natural selves. And so animals, especially domestic animals, sometimes can lose their sense of connection with their soul, and sometimes we have to help them. But let me just tell you that story, because that rabbit story, this is from Paloma. She is an animal communicator in Switzerland. And I was on her show, and I think Michael's going to be on her show. And she told me a wonderful story that I just asked for permission to tell, because I think it's so powerful. So there was a rabbit named Spot, and she wanted to communicate with Spot, with this rabbit. She was practicing her animal communication. I think it was a little bit earlier in her work as an animal communicator. And she really wanted to communicate with this rabbit named Spot. So she went to him and she said, I'd like to communicate with you. And Spot, the rabbit, said, I'm a philosopher. I'm way above you. You won't understand me. Go and learn some more and come back. Right. And she was like, oh, okay. You know, so she went and learned some more and studied some more and worked on herself and did her spiritual practice. It came back in 6 months, same answer. Comes back in a year, same answer. Year and a half, same answer. But at this point, she's thinking that she's just making it up, right? So 2 years later, after doing all her work, she comes back and he says, okay, we're going to write a book together. So they're writing a book together. So I just, you know, it's so wonderful that this rabbit was like, you know, I'm not going to just chit chat with you. You have to kind of come up to my level. And I had a horse tell me that once. You know what I mean? You've heard the story about Blue. You know, he will only talk to me if I'm kind of in my highest level of capacity for consciousness and experience. And he's not interested in chit chat, but he will absolutely talk to me if I come to him at my capacity for, you know, the highest level of peace and compassion and understanding. And then he's he'll just chat away. So there are these stories of animals who can talk about their human lives. There was once, I think it was a parrot who had been a Zen monk, and he, you know, told the whole, you know, story of his life as a Zen monk and everything. There's no way this parrot could have known all these details, you know? So it really starts to get your curiosity going, you know, makes you wonder who's sitting next to you in that, in the bed next to you. You know, Lulu, our foster dog over there in the corner, is like, who is she really? Sometimes when I look at her, it's like, well, who are you? And just asking that question, even if I can't answer it or she doesn't answer it in that moment, just asking the question of your, of the animal who shares your life, who are you? It's a really powerful thing to do. Yeah.
I had a my neighbor's horse I was doing some work with a couple of years ago. She had two horses.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was just, and she was like 38 years old, mm-hmm. right? Her name was Penny. And she would just like wrap herself around me, and we just had some beautiful experiences. Her other horse, he was interesting. He was much younger and very standoffish and skittish, and he had been, you know, abused and beaten. Mm. And when I tried doing some work with him, he's like, dude, no, you need to back off.
Right.
I don't want it.
Right.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And so I learned to give him, you know, more of a trust technique type thing. And I gave him that space, and I just kept showing up for him. And then next thing I know, one day there he is in my arms, and you know, I just had tears streaming down my face, and
it was
beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I mean, Lulu, the foster dog that we're working with, has come from tremendous adversity. And so if a man comes over to the house, she turns into Godzilla, right? She just goes crazy. And yesterday, you know, she did her Godzilla routine, but it was only for about 5 minutes and maybe 10. And 10 minutes later, she was crawling into his lap, and it was so cute, you know, because having Lulu crawl into your lap at 56 pounds is not the same as having a puppy crawl into your lap. But it was very cute to watch her go from being, I'm going to kill you, watch out, I'm bigger than anything, I'm a monster, you're going to die, you know, to, I want to be in your lap. You know, it's fun to watch that. So I think what's, you know, exciting about, if we think that animals have a soul, then the question is, can we communicate with these souls? And that's both when an animal is here with us in physical form, and also when an animal passes, can we continue to communicate? Because the notion of a soul implies that there is this continuity of consciousness that doesn't die. So while the physical body dies, the soul continues to evolve. And I believe that souls are in a continual process of growth or development. And it's not that they're broken or anything, but it's just that they continue to grow. You know, there's a process of evolution. So we can continue to communicate with animals who've passed. And occasionally I just check in with some of my animals who've passed. And it's just a very comforting experience to just be recognized. Oh, yeah, there's Wolfie, you know, or there's Serafina. There's Oscar.
I get that from Darby now and then.
Yeah.
I don't even have to attempt or be thinking about him, and I'll be meditating or something, and then bang.
His
face
right
pops in, and she's checking in on me.
Exactly. You know, and in most cases, unless it's an unhealthy attachment, they're not hanging around, but they will visit. And it's nice. Sometimes you can call on them, but it's nice to have them just drop in as they choose to, because you want to respect that they are busy. You know, they have their own life now. They are engaged in their world. So we don't want to pull on them, but occasionally we can say, hey, how you doing? Just experience their isness, you know, their nature, their who they were, and it probably, I don't know what, I'll just speak for myself. When I feel their presence, it's them, but it's them plus, you know, like I can feel that they've evolved. They're at a higher capacity for connecting and experiencing. And that's kind of inspiring too, because that takes away some of the fear of death, because we realize that, okay, well, death is the end of this cycle of living, and, you know, and that's can be a sad thing, but it's also exciting to think about, well, now what? Now what's possible? Who do I want to be now? And where do I want to go and see and be and feel and experience and know and all of that good stuff? So that's kind of inspiring for us humans who worry about things. You know, like they say, cats don't cats think about death kind of like a doggy door. Not that they want to die, of course, but when they do, it's just like, okay, out of this one to the next one. Let's see what happens here. You know, they don't have that kind of fear that we humans have. So, because we humans are not certain that there's anything else after.
Yeah. We have a hard time trusting, right?
Yeah.
I think animals, they're so in tune with everything else, at least more so than we are, that they just naturally understand that, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I think on that note, why don't we take a short little break and come back in just a bit?
Great idea.
Okay. We'll see you in a moment.
Hey, friends. If you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey folks, welcome back. I'm so excited to continue this conversation. I think a lot of us don't understand even our own connection to our own soul and thinking about animals having souls may be a little uncomfortable. So let's keep going. This is great.
Yeah. Well, you know, this whole conversation, it's not like communicating with animal souls independent of human souls. It's like animal souls, human souls, same thing, same deal. Same, you know, maybe it's a different model of car, but it's the same. They both are the same. The soul of an animal, the soul of a human is same. And especially when we start thinking about the possibility of people going back, choosing to come back as an animal, or an animal choosing to come back as a person. I mean, I'm sure you've met some dogs. It's like, oh my God, this was a person. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, there's some dogs. It's like, man, this is a dog, you know, and that's great. Absolutely. Nothing could be better, but every once in a while you meet a dog, it's like, whoa, the level of understanding, and you just, I don't know, there's just something different. So it's an exciting thing to just play around with and just treat it like a little mental exploration, see what you come up with. Yeah, but it was interesting. There's another animal communicator, and her name was Netta Whittles, and she told a story about communicating with a llama and asking the llama about this question, do animals have souls? And the llama said to her that they have both a group soul, meaning the llama soul, and an individual soul. So in the case of the group soul, like when the llamas are all together in a place, they were in a sanctuary, I think, these llamas. The llama said, well, we know everything that's going on in the other llama's experience. Like, we know when they're eating or giving birth or sleeping or in pain or happy or sad or whatever it is, that they have that group awareness as well as individual awareness. Well, you know, and that was such an interesting concept, you know, because as humans, we really don't normally walk around having kind of group soul experience. We're just really just busy with our own. It's enough to just handle my own experience. But, you know, the llamas were saying that they really can feel it. So what hurts one llama hurts all of the llamas. Do you know what I mean? And that really changes how you think. I mean, what if that were true about, let's say, all dogs? And then how does my three dogs that are having a beautiful life here with homemade food in my house, are they affected by the dogs that are in the shelter 50 miles away? You know what I mean? Like, is that part of why what they're doing when they're sleeping is just helping those other animals and helping them? Who knows? You know, I mean, I think different animals have different purposes in life. Not all animals are going to be that tuned in or whatever. I'm not saying they all are, but I know some are. You know, I know that some animals will be busy working. After this podcast, I have a session with a client with an animal who's highly traumatized, raised in a puppy mill, doesn't have a normal life in any way, but has a Buddha-like existence, very, very peaceful, and will be spend part of her portion of her time. She'll be working with other animals, including other species. And I've heard that from other animals. So it's really interesting when you start communicating and you start hearing these stories about what else is going on. You know what I mean? It's not just having a nap. They may be having a nap, or they might be doing some inner work. And just to recognize that possibility kind of changes how we look at our co-lives together. Yeah.
Yeah. Darby, my last dog, he was the wonder dog.
Yeah.
I lived in the mountains for a while, and he would hang out uh-huh. with the deer.
Yeah.
I'd go outside and he's standing next to a deer and they're both eating grass.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
You know, he'd nap with the cat, or the uh-huh. squirrels would come over and check him out. They thought something was wrong with him because he wasn't chasing him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was connected on this whole other level I had never seen right. before.
Right. Yeah, it's really interesting to see how it all goes. And did I ever tell you the story about Noheya, the dog in the shelter? Did I ever tell you that story?
Mm-mm.
When I was volunteering here, there was a dog, and she was not what you'd call pretty dog. You know, like, she wasn't like a cute little white fluffy thing. She was kind of like an African dingo, black, and she had some eye trouble, so a big swollen eye, and so you had to be given medicine. But she was just what we call a pancake dog, you know, just laying on the floor, not wanting to interact, not wanting to take treats, not getting any comfort from the presence of a human. And she couldn't even be in a regular kennel because she was just so, you know, people would think she was dead walking by. And she was just not interested in anything, not even delicious treats, not even hot dogs, right? So nothing got her motivated. And I recognized that she had been separated from her soul. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that the soul separated from her. I mean that she didn't have a sense of connection to her soul. She had lost her sense of her soul. And so I did some work with her in the human animal connection, we call soul retrieval, helping her, asking her soul to come back and help. And in doing that in her presence, to strengthen it, because I can feel it. And even if she can't at first, and eventually what happens is that she gets reconnected with her soul and it's like starting the pilot light again on her spirit. And so in the first day I did this, I thought, okay, it's not working. Nothing happened. Second day I did it. Okay, I don't think it's working. Third day, okay, maybe it's working. You know, she started to come around a little bit. And then, you know, once she starts feeling a little bit more of her life force, then she could be a little more interested and began to take a treat from my hand. And this was, you know, she was not taking treats at all. It was really the turning point when she felt the presence of her soul. It reignited her interest in living. And then 2 weeks later, she was adopted. I don't know. I didn't get to see the adoption, so I don't know who did it, because this was not like a pretty dog. You know, this was not like a, oh, I love you, dog. You know, I mean, hopefully she's evolved more. But at the time, it was like you weren't going to get a lot out of this deal. You know what I mean? You weren't going to play ball with her, go for a run. But so it's just beautiful that somebody was able to maybe see her spirit, and she was able to reconnect with her spirit. So it's not too often that happens, that a dog gets disconnected like that. I mean, it's really a very rough, you know, it's just like with people. I mean, it's the equivalent of being suicidal in human terms, you know, when a dog gets like that. So it's really just exciting to see that even the dogs can heal even from that level of disconnection and sense of separation and not belonging and just completely disconnected. It is possible to heal from that state. And that's very exciting. And it all comes from just my willingness to consider the possibility that A, she has a soul, and B, to recognize that she wasn't experiencing her connection with her soul. And it was just a communication error, you know, like the pathway wasn't open. And once we got that open, her soul did the healing. I mean, I did very little. I did, I don't know, 5 or 6 sessions with her, very little work. Because when you're doing soul retrieval work, it's the soul that's doing the work, not me. I'm just kind of it's almost like the introducer, like, hey, Noheya, meet your soul. Hey, soul, come back and see Noheya. You know, it's just like, I'm just the intermediary, you know, it's not like I'm fixing it. So you have to really get out of the way when you're doing this work, and you can't be attached to any outcome, because it's, you know, there is also the possibility that she didn't want to come back, that maybe she had had enough of this physical life. So mm-hmm. I can't know that. So I can't just be in the mode of, I'm going to fix you, you know, I'm going to get you back to be a happy dog. You know, no, I don't know. Well, whatever she did was good. So feel good about it. Yeah.
That's an important point too. I think as humans, we want to save everybody. We want to fix things. We want to fix other people.
Yeah.
We want to fix the animals. And maybe that's not actually what's supposed to happen.
Exactly so, right. Yeah. It's exactly right. I mean, it's just really recognizing that all beings have a soul. And just by saying that or seeing that or feeling that or willing to consider that changes something in the dynamic. in the relationship. So you begin to look at people not just as they're showing up in their personality or their behavior, but, you know, this is a being with a soul. And sometimes it's really interesting if you can't connect to a human that you need to communicate with, sometimes just tune into their soul. Just see what happens. And maybe the soul wants to talk to you. Maybe the soul doesn't want to talk to you. You know, you don't know what's going to happen, but it's really beautiful to recognize that there we do have this capacity to communicate soul to soul. And what's beautiful about that is that soul to soul communication is always completely authentic. You know, there's no pretense, there's no judgment, there's no wanting to change anything. It's just like essence to essence. It's like two babies meeting each other. It's just complete love and fullness, and it's good stuff.
Yeah. In Taoism, they talk about the irreducible essence, right? Everything else is removed. And then that's the soul level. That's the essence of the being.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And yeah, I just want to finish this segment with a quote from the Dalai Lama. And he said, let me read it. Okay. Life is as dear to a mute creature as it is to man. Just as one wants happiness and fears pain, just as one wants to live and not die, so do other creatures. And so it's just, you know, really beautiful to think in those terms, instead of thinking as humans in one whole different category, animals in some other different category. We're all in the same category. We all have a soul. And at the soul level, we're all equal and we're all connected.
I love that.
Yeah. So I hope you'll join us, because our next episode is Animals on Purpose, talking about purpose in the lives of animals.
Wow.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So we will see you hopefully in the next episode.
See you then. Aloha for now.
Aloha for now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services. You can reach Michael Overly, author of Let Your Dog Lead, Musings on How to Create an Exceptional Life, on his website at dogsandmen.com or email michael@dogsandmen.com.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.